The language of deceit, notes and extracts. Veterans and engines. I had never had as much contact with my family as I should, and yet, at the same time, sometimes it is better to distance yourself from those with differing opinions. I had lived abroad for many years and was distant in more ways than one from the rural coastal Scottish village where I grew up. It was a quiet place, that is, if you are able to ignore the rumours, gossip, dogs, and wayward golfing drives with the unapologetic cries that followed them. The river flowed, the grass grew, and the colours changed, marking the seasonal boundaries. The recent birth of my son had caused me to reevaluate my life and spend more time with my family. One of the results of this was that I was invited by my overly enthusiastic father to visit the annual historic Wheels Open Day and rally. A sports car is something that usually looks like a flattened dart. It can travel very fast. For some reason, it often sounds like a tractor. It attracts a lot of pointed fingers and smiles, and probably causes a lot of pollution and dirty hands. Essentially, for these reasons, and other such non-logic, it is unquestionably cool to have a sports car. I personally am a driver of a 5-door, which really has 4 doors, small hatchback, and I like it very much. It is easy to drive, seldom breaks down, is cheap to run, has ample room in the back for family trips, and unfortunately slides all over the road in winter. The day of the rally was approaching fast, and my father wanted to pass on his accumulated wisdom about cars. "Let's go," said my father, as he purposely strode out of the house intent on showing me the ropes and giving me a few pointers on driving his classic monster. This was his baby, a vehicle that had sat in pieces on his garage floor for 20 years, until, I imagine, he finally found the instructions. Walking around the car, I almost got in the driver's side and corrected myself in time to realize that this green machine probably did not have central locking, power steering, or heating of any kind. I swung open the door, leapt in, and found myself sitting on what seemed to be the floor of the vehicle. Low seats or no seats are obviously another part of the inexplicable cool factor. Having had some odd experiences with some of Dad's older cars, I knew that it was best not to touch anything or comment too much, so I didn't. I observed in detail the starting ritual and was soon overcome by the sweet cocktail mix of fresh leather and fresh fuel. I wondered if jet pilots ever had the same experience, and whether or not it might actually be dangerous to be smoking a pipe in the vehicle. I wondered if fires were easy to put out in moving vehicles. This was not a family car. Two seats in the front and, well, almost zero in the back. Obviously designed for father and diligent son, teacher and willing student, boyfriend and potential girlfriend, psychologist and recovering patient, retired or divorced husbands trying to recover their youth. Whatever the philosophy, it was a ridiculous extravagance that only ever proved, at least to me, that you are either ridiculous or extravagant, if not both. The removal of the roof, another perhaps life-threatening feature, revealed a typical Scottish summer sky that was a patchwork of silver grey, cotton white, and remote blue. The Scottish equivalent of subtropical, also known as temperate maritime. Why anyone in their right or wrong mind would want to have an open-top car in the Highlands of Scotland is far beyond my reasoning. Perhaps it is some special scientific method for collecting rainwater. Although I am somewhat reliably informed that above 60 miles per hour, no rain gets in, though I find this hard to believe. Who knows the truth in this secret world of car worship? Time would soon tell. My heart was soon skipping beats. The low driving position, without doubt, gives a feeling of speed or terror, as you seem to be traveling twice as fast as normal. Every time a lorry or a truck or a bus or a van or SUV was close up in front or behind, I could not help but imagine the car being crushed like a snail by a tank. This, I was assured, adds to the thrill, or danger, of driving an older, or classic, car. How this all brought to anybody more pleasure than headaches was far beyond my ability to comprehend. Eventually, we nervously swapped positions, and most of my first drive was spent trying to remember to stay on the left side of the road and trying not to grab the window handle each time I felt the need to change gear. None of this I could admit to my father, although the grim expression on his face told me that he probably already knew. Allowing others to hold or handle your baby is always a nerve-wracking experience on all sides. Indeed, we are creatures of unavoidable, habitual, and often illogical activities. There is often much evidence of little reason. In general, this ride was pleasant and fairly smooth, in part to the roads, I think, or maybe due to the toxic mix of fuels and dark essential oils. All too slowly, I arrived home, only to be asked by my mother, who had obviously been extremely anxious, if I had made my will yet. I hadn't. It hadn't crossed my mind. I trusted that my father knew what he was doing. Perhaps that was a mistake. But I had survived my initiation. I was in. I had passed the ritual test, served my time. I had pleased and praised the gods and would be allowed to proceed. Isn't that how it all always works? The language of deceit. Notes and extracts.